Yeah, well, thanks, Brett.
Yeah, it was a terrific game for you in the end. You got out of it probably as much as you wanted, the 4 points and a very handy 10-goal win.
Yeah, it was a strong performance. You always worry going up to the new frontier up there, like with different conditions and so on, but we had a few hiccups going in. Lost Hill, the last kick of training, but he didn't come up after a scan, and Matthew was sent home ill, so we had some challenges going in, but I thought we responded very well.
Yeah, you did, and I said, look, I wasn't splitting hairs, but I thought Hill was probably going to be a bigger loss to you because you needed a little bit of outside run, and you know, you can break those lines because we know what Melbourne are trying to do anyway, and they try to clog the game up. But I said with Pav, I said it'll be a good opportunity for you to realise other avenues to get to goal, and you spread of goal kickers certainly defined that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we had 10. So, I mean, I think we averaged about 8 or 9, I think. I think the best are 9 and we average 8. So we're right up there with our spread of goal kickers. Our mids tend to kick a fair few goals for us, really. So as long as Abness, I thought was fantastic, really, how he competed and brought the ball to ground. You know, he's going to be really good for us going forward in the long term, we think. And our mids really got in with theirs when they were folding back, and, you know, Tendai's kicked a few and those sort of things. So it was really positive.
Are you going better than last year, Ross, when you obviously had a big focus on trying to be able to get more score out of your team? Do you think you're going better than last year?
I don't know. I think we're seventh attack, so we're averaging 90-odd points a game. We had 61 entries on the weekend. So we fluff some sitters, like drop marks and so on. So, look, we're certainly going in. I'm not sure, to be truthful. I don't tend to do the comparison by the numbers. I'm not sure what the numbers are either, really. So, I'm no feeling wise, I don't know, really. I know we're building and we're improving, so... it's hard to tell.
Well, you're certainly top two in the least conceded points, so that's where you like to be. And as you say, if you can continue to build and make sure you're kicking around about that 13, 14, 15 goal mark, you're going to be competitive in all games.
Yeah, you would think so. So, it's a work in progress, and I'm trying to improve.
Good to see Anthony Morabito back here. You sort of held him back as long as you needed to?
I didn't really hold him back. It was just a matter of him getting ready. So,
no, I mean on the night. I mean
on the night. Yeah, I think, look, after 4 years of non-playing, I think it would have been negligent almost just to throw him in from the start for the team, first of all, and then for Anthony. So regardless of what anyone says or Anthony might think, there's a distinctive gap between waffle footy and AFL footy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And the reality is we played a team that's only won a couple of games, so the Derby was a red hot game, and you know, obviously the top four, top eight teams play a fiercer brand for longer than Melbourne were able to put up. So yeah, he's still got some building to do, but gee, it's been a good story, hasn't it, for Anthony and the club?
Yep. You pulverised Melbourne, let's face it, and you've been, you know, brilliant, I think, from a defensive aspect. How taxing do you reckon this style is, Ross, and how do you think your boys are travelling?
Yeah, I don't think it's taxing at all.
Huh?
I think what gets lost is Sydney and Hawthorne. I think Hawthorne are seventh defence, but Sydney, they're top two defence. So, if anything, we have efficiency of running. Don't get it confused with a one-on-one brand. We have great handovers and we work together. So it's not like, really, even the Eagles, back to your area, was strict one-on-one and find your bloke. We don't work like that. We just cover the colour. So whoever's closest to who, you just play on them. So... That makes it... Nick Del Santo, I remember him saying, the efficiency of running, it just makes it easy when you work together. But if you've got to catch and kill your own the whole time, it's quite taxing. And we actually tackle less than the very best tackling teams like Sydney and Collingwood and the Eagles tackle a lot. I think Hawthorn and us tackle the least and spoil the least. So that sort of talks to being in smart positions and working together more than just brutality, you know.
And I've maintained that myself, Ross, for a long time. I mean, if you can corral or, you know, sort of players up, I mean, make them do something with the ball is just as can be just as efficient as, you know, over-committing and laying the tackle and finding yourself out on the ground.
Yeah, you're spot on, and you remember when you played, if you just had to chase your forward pocket around, there's nothing worse than your bloke's out and he's running past a fellow defender.
Yep.
And he goes, well, I've got my bloke, I'm okay, and you've got to run 100 metres to get to him, so... We don't work like that, you know. And I think the commentary on the weekend, I heard Ben Dixon was saying to watch our backs hand over and work together, he said it's really impressive, and that actually makes it easier, not harder.
Yeah, sure. I tell you who I really liked in recent weeks, and I've liked him all along, but I think he's getting better and better every week. He does something for you every week, and that's Daniel Pearce. I mean, there was a situation in the Richmond game where he switched you on, and then he did a kick, a magnificent goal in the Derby, and he did another magnificent goal in the second quarter on the weekend, which seemed to give you a lot of impetus as well.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. He came to us really keen, enthusiastic, and but they had a different training model to even what they got now, Port, and so once he adapted and did a full summer, his second summer, he's been magnificent. So he's one of our best trainers. And, you know, he's really quite hard at the ball and a strong tackler, which is something when you brought him in, everyone sees he's outside run, but he's a tough little bugger and he's a beautiful kick and got speed. So he's been really important for us.
GWS, obviously you don't change much, but is there any chance of anyone coming back this week to come into your side?
Yeah, it's a good point. As I left last week, it was a dark. I was in at the club, but there was no one else around really, but commercial operations and a couple of football analysts. So how we left it last week was there was a plan for Michael to get up and play this week. So he'll be the same as Luke McFarlane in that he'll have to do the week and get through it and hopefully jump all the hurdles, and then we could pick him. So that was the plan. Whether that can be executed, I'm not too sure yet.
Pat?
Yeah, Matthews just was ill. So I got an email last night with our doctor who'd spoken to Matthew and said he was improving. So certainly wasn't anything to do with his cork. And he was quite ill, you know. And hopefully he should be okay. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. But as Brad said, it's a really good opportunity to... It's coming, isn't it? Whether it's, you know, next year or whatever with Matthew, it's going to be a Pavlich for a year at some point, so it's good to have an early look at what that looks like.
Stephen Hill might be a little longer.
Yeah, he'll definitely be 3 weeks. He won't play until after the bye, so that's confirmed.
Do you have a hard and fast rule, Ross, or you're flexible with whoever it may be, the individual may be, if they're out a certain amount of time, you like to see them come back through Peel or...
No, it's not hard and fast, no. I mean, someone like Stephen would come straight back in.
Yep.
Horses for courses. I bought Stephen Baker, I think, 14 weeks straight into a grand final. So it's sort of what injury it is, the player they've been, how competitive it is for those spots, and sort of supply and demand, really. So, look, I've learned don't make any closed-ended statements because it's hard to wiggle your way out of once you do that. So, no, it's on a case-by-case basis.
Are you happy with the way the alignment's working? Because, you know, Peel haven't had a great season, have they?
No, it all depends how you measure, I suppose. I think what we're happy about is the two clubs are working together quite brilliantly. And there were some issues made of the week before, which we understand, but internally the communications and getting to solid platforms on a weekly basis is really strong. Cam Shepherd is into our club regularly each week. We certainly take the seriousness of the Waffle and trying to win. We'd like to win more. But at the end of the day, they're coming off a low base. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Peel is a club. So I'm sure it'll only continue to get better on field. We've had some good wins, a couple of good wins, and we could have won a couple more. So I've seen the result on the weekend. It was disappointing, obviously. And what's disappointing is we had 15 Fremantle players representing Peel and put up that performance. So we're certainly not thrilled from afar, but hopefully we can break down the reasons why and educate those guys.
Now, I know you're only taking it 1 week at a time, but it was beer-drinking weather up there in Darwin post-game, and you would have been toasting both North Melbourne and Essendon, wouldn't you?
Well, it hasn't hurt, has it? it certainly hasn't hurt. But I did get asked that post in the press, which is a fair enough question, and I suppose what happens if you spend your time looking at if they win or they lose and...
Yeah.
We'll be there. I learned very early in my coaching career, if you don't win, nothing else matters. So,
wow.
I just find if you win the games that are put in front of you and you look back once you add them up at the end, if you've won your fair share, you're in a good spot. So we're just focusing on the work at hand, really. And we prepare every week the same. You know, if we're fortunate enough to play a final, the preparation for that final will be no different to GWS. And I think that's our strength, that our consistency of preparation Monday to Friday puts us in pretty good stead.
I know you've got a bye coming up, but would you consider, given that you play GWS and St Kilda, two of the weaker teams in the competition, of resting a couple of key players in the next couple of weeks?
Well, certainly nothing I've thought of at this point. We have rested players
before
in the past, so...
It's likely.
But I think what everyone's going to understand what's different, and all your listeners would understand, that there's actually two byes this year. Last year there was one, so... Yeah. Everyone's going to get a rest after the St Kilda game, and it's almost perfect timing for them from the final. So I think that's an added variable. We're not taking undue risk. There's no doubt about that. So, look, I think it's a topic everyone talks about. What the reality is at this point, I don't know.
Ross, thanks for your time. Good luck on the weekend.